On this edition of Audio Berkman.
Something is going on in our culture. There's a changing relationship between the implicit and the explicit that we need to pay attention to, and that has a direct bearing on knowledge and on meaning, because meaning is the accumulation of the implicit.
David Weinberger, Berkman Fellow, author, and blogger, discusses ideas for his upcoming book titled Everything is Miscellaneous. For Audio Berkman, I'm Colin Rinesmith. David Weinberger says the comedian Jon Stewart has become a trusted journalist. Wikipedia is in many instances more reliable and up-to-date than traditional encyclopedias. Websites let social networks put together their own front pages, ignoring the efforts of the highly trained members of newspaper editorial boards. What the heck is up with knowledge? It's by no means the end of days for knowledge, he says, but it's no longer limited by the physical ways we've had to manage it in the past. Further, as a culture, we are hard at work on building an infrastructure for meaning and understanding. To take a closer look at these issues, we'll hear excerpts from David's talk presented at the Berkman Tuesday Luncheon Series on March 28, 2006. Audio Berkman is brought to you by the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. On the web at cyber.law.harvard.edu.
It seems to me that we're moving from a view of knowledge that thinks of real knowledge, the best cases of knowledge, you know, the prototype of knowledge, to be, if you can organize things into a tree, then you've really nailed it. And in so doing, you become an expert, or you rely on experts, and this tree then is to guide others. And the value of the tree, to a large extent, is the fact that it excludes so much. You know, most things are not knowledge, so you need an expert in this world where we know so much. We need experts to help us keep us from all the bad information, the non-knowledge that's competing for our attention. So that's the traditional view, and I think because of the digitization of information, we're actually moving to a different view that pulls the leaves off of the trees, makes a giant pile that's richly embedded with metadata, each of those leaves. That you can think of that pile, by the way, as being the web, or the internet, although it's actually much broader. It works, I think, within networks that are detached from the internet, and it's a superset of the internet. Nevertheless, you know, just think about, as an example of this, the most important example of this, the most important instance, is the internet. The old way is that you become an expert and you thus keep us from bad knowledge. You filter on the way in so that the collection of stuff on your tree is all good knowledge you can rely on. And clearly there are benefits to doing that. In this model, in the leaf pile of leaf model, the miscellaneous model, where everything becomes miscellaneous, hence the title, the value becomes in including as much as you can. Excluding stuff, even for the best of reasons, even excluding stuff that's pernicious, stupid, and dangerous, or any combination, and offensive, any combination of those, excludes stuff that maybe at some point somebody's going to want to find, for whatever reason. Maybe they're doing research on the stupid, offensive, and dangerous. Maybe it's 50 years from now. So excluding becomes a negative value. Being as inclusive as possible builds value in the collection, in the pile. The second thing that changes is that rather than having to filter on the way in because of the power of computers, users can filter on the way out. They can organize, select and organize things as they want to in ways that make sense to them at that moment given that project and that set of beliefs and cultural stance. We're going from an environment in which the news is filtered for us and weighted for us so that we get a front page, a static front page, the same for everyone, that tells us here's the most important thing. Those decisions are made by editors who have reached the pinnacle of the journalistic career and highly expert in what they do. Nevertheless, inevitably, it's only their point of view. It's one we should respect and listen to. Nevertheless, it's only one. Right now, there are lots and lots of sites springing up that enable readers to decide what they think is the most important news of the day, to do that together, to do it increasingly, and I think this is the most important development in the near future, to do that not just everybody at the same site gets to create one front page for that site, as at Digg, for example. That stuff's great. Nevertheless, it's even greater when we'll be able to filter news through people, particular social groups and networks. When it's a hot day and you go into a bar and you ask for a beer and you drink it and it's good, but it's not the perfect beer, you do not slam it down on the table and on the bar and say indignantly, "This is less than perfect." Go out and go to the next bar, take a sip of that one, slam it down and say, "It's not perfect either," and thus never ever get a drink. What you do is you drink it and you say, "Oh, that's really good. That's pretty good beer. Oh, that is pretty good beer. May not be the perfect beer, but it's good enough." And good enough is becoming the measure for most of our informational requirements, which means that in some sense, not in the deep postmodern sense, but in some sense, what is knowledge for each of us is what's good enough for me may not be good enough for you, and so we have multiple knowledges. To know what a hammer is, to understand it, you have to know a whole bunch of things. In fact, you have to know what nails are. To understand what a hammer is in our culture, if it's on Mars, maybe it's a hammer or something else, but to know what a hammer is, in a very simple sense, in the sense in which you pick it up and you can use it, you have to know about nails. And know about nails is know about wood and the properties of wood, and you can drive nails into it. And know about wood, you really have to know about lumber yards, which means you know about trees, which means you know about forests, which means you know about the economy that connects the lumber yard and the forest. It means you know about the sun and the earth on which forests grow, and everything else. You have to know about everything else. So this is to say that meaning what something is depends upon its context. This is what makes it intelligible, but both those terms seem a little cognitive to me and a little bloodless. So I like better, as does Heidegger, the term meaning. This is a jar of jam. The photo was taken, perhaps, I don't know, I stole it off of Google, at a roadside stand, let's say in Vermont. I just made that up, but we're going to go with it, okay? And it has a label. The label says strawberry. This is very different than the photo of that same jar that gets posted to Flickr, where it gets tagged, let's say, with a bunch of stuff. Those tags are never going to amount to what we know simply from seeing the actual jar at the actual stand. The actual jar at the actual stand is embedded. Because the difference between what we know and what we tag is, in fact, the world. Right? It's the entire world. The real jar is embedded in a real world and has all of the meaning associated with it, everything that we know, whereas the bits on the page at Flickr, all that we know are what some random people happen to have tagged. So we can't explicitly build up the same level of implicit knowledge that we have in the real world. And that's an issue. We've spent a lot of time over the past 10 years talking fruitfully about the change in the line drawn between the private and the public, and it's a conversation that continues, and as it should. I think we need to spend an equal amount of time talking about the line between the implicit and the explicit, which isn't just shifting back and forth, but we don't even know what dimension to begin talking about. It's extremely difficult to talk about the implicit because, guess what, you're making it explicit. So, but something is going on in our culture. There's a changing relationship between the implicit and the explicit that we need to pay attention to, and that has a direct bearing on knowledge and on meaning, because meaning is the accumulation of the implicit. So it doesn't seem to me that knowledge is dead, long-lived knowledge. It doesn't seem to me that that's what's going on. It seems to me that instead knowledge has more or less, it's fallen in love. That the context out of which knowledge grows has always been this messy, implicit realm. We are working now, we're always going to continue working on knowledge. It's just, it's for all the obvious reasons, it's really important that we know what we know and that our sciences advance and that our policies become based more on knowledge and less on stupidity. So this argument, knowledge does not need, in this sense, does not need a champion. I mean, we're going to, knowledge, we're going to keep doing it. We have the institutions set up for doing it. But meanwhile, we've seen this enormous upsurge in meaning, in building an infrastructure of meaning by pulling together pieces for ourselves and for others in loose and in tight ways, in ways that make sense now and don't make sense later. And every time we do that, we enhance the value. We increase the meaning of the world that we're building.
You've been listening to the March 28th, 2006 edition of the Audio Berkman podcast. To hear the complete audio recording from this event, as well as the Q&A segment with David Weinberger, visit the Audio Berkman website at cyber.law.harvard.edu/audio, then click on Event Archive. Audio Berkman is brought to you by the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. For Audio Berkman, I'm Colin Rinesmith. Thanks for listening.